Good evening, everyone. So the idea has been suggested of perhaps speaking about some inyanim of Hilchos Pesach over the next couple of weeks as we approach Pesach. 2 weeks from tonight is the Leil Bedikas Chametz. So Pesach is right around the corner. So I'd be open to doing that, but I mentioned to Rebbetzin Leban, and I believe she already sent out a message to that effect, that it would be helpful if people had specific questions or specific areas, topics that they would like to hear addressed, that would help me perhaps decide what to talk about. I can't promise I'll answer every question, but it would give me some direction as to what to speak about, because you know, we have 2 weeks. 2 weeks is about 10 shiurim of about 10 to between 10 and 15 minutes each. And Hilchos Pesach probably could take up more time than that. So you could either text the questions to my phone number, which is the ID number of this Zoom, 773-983-9701. Or if you prefer to WhatsApp, you could WhatsApp them to my daughter's phone number, which is identical to mine, except it ends with a 4. Instead of a 1, it ends with a 4, 773-983-9704. And she mentioned to me also, my daughter, that she's setting up some sort of group or whatever it is exactly, that there might be different types of information, matters of information there that would be helpful. So that's a WhatsApp number you can go to. Okay, folks, so for tonight, I thought I would talk about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros, specifically as it relates to Yom Tov. So we have the Hadlakas Neros at the beginning of Yom Tov, 2 nights here in Chutz La'aretz, and 2 nights at the end of Yom Tov. And so to begin with, the Hadlaka the first night is a Shaila, if it should be done the same time you do on a Friday evening, that you light approximately 18 minutes before Shkia. Should you do the same thing Yom Tov? Or by Yom Tov, do we light later, only before the Suda? Now, the reason perhaps to do it later is that the second night of Yom Tov, you must do it later. The second night of Yom Tov, you can't light while it's still day one. You can't light for day two on day one. You must wait till after day one of Yom Tov is completely over. Let's say this year, Pesach, the first day will be a Tuesday. So you can't light candles again for Tuesday night when it's still Tuesday afternoon. You must wait till after, not just Shkia, not just sunset, but after Tzeis Kochavim, Tuesday night, and only then light the candles, you know, sometime before the Suda or before the Seder. So therefore, some have a minhag that even the first night, when it's Yontif, they always wait till after dark to light so that they don't get confused. But others do it differently, and they light before dark. The first night, they light before dark, as they would on a regular Friday, which is fine. Perhaps even it's the preferred minhag, but it's certainly an acceptable minhag. But the bottom line is either way is acceptable. Now, there's another difference between, or Shabbos and Yom Tov, at least another difference according to some in Hagim, is the order of the lighting vis-a-vis the brachos. A regular Friday night for women, certainly for Ashkenazic women, some Sephardic women as well, the minhag is to first light the candles. And only after lighting the candles is the bracha recited. The candles are lit, the eyes are covered, and then the bracha is recited. Because although a bracha is normally recited before the fulfillment of a mitzvah, by Hadlakas Neros, it's not done that way, because we consider the hadlaka to be, or the process of the hadlaka to be an acceptance of Shabbos. So as soon as you would articulate Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, it would be considered an acceptance of Shabbos, and you wouldn't be able to light anymore. So it would be self-destructive. The whole process. So therefore, the minhag is, for at least for Ashkenazim, is to first light on a Friday night, to first light and then make the bracha. But Yom Tov, we don't have that problem. Yom Tov, you could say the bracha lahat ner shel Yom Tov, and even shechiyano, which many women say by Yom Tov, and then you could light. You can't strike a match once it's Yom Tov, but you could still light, assuming you're holding in your hand when you make the bracha. You're already holding a lit candle, which you're going to use to light from, or a lit whatever it is, something lit, some flame. So you've already got the flame, so there's no problem saying the bracha and then lighting. You're allowed to light on Yom Tov. So some do it that way. But the Magen Avraham says, no, that's not a good idea. We don't distinguish between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Since by Shabbos you have to first light and then say the bracha, do that on Yom Tov as well, says the Magen Avraham. First light the candles, then say the bracha, lahatik ner shel Yom Tov and shechiyanu. That's what the Magen Avraham says. But the first shita is an acceptable shita as well. In fact, I think more people do it the first way. I think more people light on Yom Tov, they recite the bracha first and then light the candles. But either way is acceptable. Okay, now when it comes to lighting the second night, so you have now a bunch of candles. Let's say you're use wax candles. So you have all these candles or candle holders which very likely have wax in them. Wax candles typically don't, or frequently don't, make it down to the very bottom. And you don't end up with a wax candle. Yeah, I mean, with a candle holder that's completely free of wax. Very often there's a nice little piece of wax there which didn't burn, and which has to be removed if you want to be able to put the new candle into that space. So if that space is the direct candlestick, then you absolutely need to remove the wax, so you won't be able to put the candle. And even if it's a candle holder, theoretically, where you could replace, especially if it's disposable, but you don't necessarily want to replace it. If it's a pretty good shape, you might want to reuse it. So the thing to do would be to empty the candles or the candle holders from the wax over the garbage, because those pieces of wax which have no use for anyone are considered muksa. So you could take a pointy a sharp item, a knife or whatever it may be, and scrape out the wax over the garbage or over something else which is going to go to the garbage. Technically, you could do it over a plate on which you have something non-muksa. You have a plate or something with a spoon on it, and then you could empty the pieces of wax onto that plate. And since the plate has a spoon on it, which is not muksa, you could then carry it over to the garbage. So you could do that. If doing it directly over the garbage is not convenient or practical, you could do it that way onto, but just don't do it straight onto your Yom Tov table or whatever. Don't do it in a place where you're going to be forced to move it. If it ends up on your Yom Tov table, you could still brush it off with Al Yidei Davar Acher. You could take a knife or a piece of cardboard or something, not muksa, and brush it off. You could do that. Okay, now, what you cannot do on Yom Tov, or one of the things you cannot do, is you cannot cut candles in half. Let's say you have a candle which is longer than what you want to use. Particularly, let's say that, you know, the Seder is starting late at night, and typically the Seder takes quite a while. But if for whatever reason the candles are longer than you want, and you might have during the week, during a regular Friday afternoon or Erev Yom Tov, you might have cut the candle down, but you can't do that on Yom Tov. You can't cut a candle into two. You can't cut a wick into two. You'd have to simply use it the way it is. Now, something that you could do on Yom Tov, it's actually a machlokas poskim, but many poskim hold that let's say you're not using wax candles, but you're using oil. Many people use oil, olive oil particularly, for Neir Shabbos, Yom Tov. And so you need, you need the oil and you need wicks. So I mentioned you can't cut a wick, and you certainly can't prepare a wick. You can't make a wick. If you make your own wicks, well, you know, years ago, we used to do that for Hanukkah. We would make our own, just take a ball of cotton, pull off some cotton, and make wicks. I personally haven't done that in many years, but once upon a time I did that. So you can make the wick on Yom Tov, but let's say you use floating wicks, which is a little cork, a piece of cork with a hole in the middle, and a stick, this like wax type of stick, typically red. So there's a shayla poskim, could you make that in yontif? Meaning, could you insert the little piece of the wick through the hole? Now, to be clear, if the hole is not open, sometimes the machine doesn't quite do its job, and there's a little piece of there's a perforation in the middle, but it's still filled with a little piece of the cork, and it would need to be popped through. That you cannot do in yontif. If the hole was never opened, you cannot use that cork for neiros, because you're not allowed to poke out what's there. However, if it is poked out and you have a hole like it's supposed to come, just that you simply a matter of putting the wick stick into the hole, then many holes you're allowed to do that. It's not called tikkun mana. It's such a minor, insignificant thing, and the cork is there, the wick is there. It's just the cork holds up the wick, but the wick is a wick. The cork isn't part of the wick. It just supports the wick. Yeah, I know. I understand the wick wouldn't hold its own without it, but nonetheless, it's just holding up the wick. So while there are those that are machmer, but many are mekel in that, and I think one can rely on that. Now, while I'm talking, somebody sent a text message, which I can't really read while I'm speaking, except the little part that came through on my screen. But if this was the idea, and even if it wasn't, we'll mention that many people, or some people at least, when they set up the candles Friday, I think we spoke about candle lighting once upon a time, and we mentioned that it's an inyan for the man, for the husband actually, to prepare the candles. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger brings a parish called Shoshanim Ladovit that's medayik this, because the Mishnah says there are algimel averis nashim mesas b'shas leidasan. There are three main things that the women charge. Al shein zehiris benida, b'chala, uvahadlokas haner. By neros, it says uvahadlokas haner. It doesn't say benida b'chala uvaneros. It says hadlokas haner, implying only the hadlok is the lady's job. It's the husband's job to prepare the neros. He prepares them, she lights them. Okay, so that prepares them, meaning, sets them up in the candle holders, getting ready to go. But part of preparing them, at least, certainly if you use oil, and the candles too, I venture to say, depending at least on the brand of candles, is to pre-light them. You light them and then put them out. This way, when the woman comes to light, it goes much quicker. So she's doing the mitzvah then, and she's making a bracha, and she's always thinking, and that's the Maisa Mitzvah. So you want the Maisa Mitzvah to be able to go without delay. Some candles, some argue that nowadays, today's candles, you don't need to do that. It doesn't help at all. As I said, I think it may depend on the brand of candles. And some brands of candles, I think it does help because the wicks are too long and different reasons. But anyway, so the point, what you do on a Friday when it's chol, when it's a weekday, you light it and blow it out. Or, fan it out or whatever. But on yontif, you can't do that. When you're lighting the candles, when it's already yontif, and you're preparing the candles, the husband or anybody, it doesn't make a difference if the husband or not, whoever's setting up the candles, it is usher to pre-light them and blow it out. And if you did light it, you can't blow it out. Once you lit it, you can't put it out. It's an issue of kiboy on yontif and etc. So that may or may not have been the question, but it's a worthwhile point that be careful on yontif not to pre-light and put out the candles. Okay, once again, if people send in questions on text or on my daughter's WhatsApp, which is, I'll just repeat her number, 773-983-9704. Questions regarded to Pesach or to Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed for that matter, I would, Be'ez Hashem, make an effort to address them. Have a good night. Kol Tov.